Time to get our local view, well, sort of local, to start a Tuesday. Normally setting up shop here in Eugene, live from the Big Easy. Find his work for the Register Guard on the cover of the sports section. Follow on Twitter, the handle at Austin Meek, RG. Austin, how are you?
Hey, Steve, I am great. As you mentioned, I'm in New Orleans this week for a conference. It's one of my favorite cities. I spent some time here after Katrina, has been here several times since. I just love it here. I'm not a big Bourbon Street guy, but I love the French Quarter. I love some of the other neighborhoods. So I'm going to have a good time this week.
All right. When you say a conference, explain, elaborate.
I'm down here for the Associated Press Sports Editors Conference. You know, I'm not a sports editor. I'm attending this year. First time I've been. The fact that it was in New Orleans was a little bit of a draw for me, I'm not going to lie. So it gave me a good excuse to come down here for the first time.
Sounds awesome. Today, you hit on Oregon golf. Like you said, quite the two-year run. National title last year, individual title, Pac-12 title this year. Almost won the championship, played in the title match. Casey Martin, I didn't realize, coaching at Oregon longer than anybody currently. His contract is up Friday, so how would you best describe where they're at right now on a new deal?
Well, I think it's going to get done. I think Casey wants to come back. I think Oregon wants Casey to come back. So I fully anticipate that there's going to be some type of contract negotiation and extension announced in the near future. I'll fully admit I don't know exactly how the market works for golf coaches. I know for a football or a basketball coach, you never see those coaches work into the last year of their contracts. I would assume it's maybe a little more common with a sport like golf. It doesn't generate quite the same scrutiny. But I think it's, you know, at minimum, I think it's notable the fact that Casey Martin has had the best two-year run in history of Oregon golf, national title, individual NCAA champion, first Pac-12 title this year, Pac-12 individual champion, NCAA runner-up. The long list of firsts that have been accomplished by Oregon golf the last couple of years, Casey Martin. But I think it is notable the fact that now he's going into the last days of his contract and there's been no extension announced.
Yeah, one of the interesting aspects is we always hear about, you know, what's revenue generating, and obviously that's football, who just hired a new staff. But some of those other sports are just consistently excelling at a national level, and we always hear about the Oregon brand. So how fine a line is that to kind of maintain excellence, which includes paying great coaches, when, I don't know, sometimes the cash might not be so readily available?
Yeah, I think it's a really tough balancing act that Rob Mullins has at Oregon, because Oregon wants to be competitive in every sport. They want to compete for conference championships in every sport. That's sort of the baseline for Oregon. And you look across the board, in almost every sport, they're doing that. And they've got a handful of sports, including golf and track and field and softball, a handful of sports that are achieving at historic levels. And it's hard to sustain that because it's not like football necessarily, where when your football team wins big, you win big financially. There's not necessarily a huge payoff just in monetary terms for success in some of those non-revenue sports, but at the same time, the cost of sustaining that success still goes up. You know, you still have to pay the coaches, and you have to reward them for success, and Oregon's in a position now where a lot of its non-revenue sports are really achieving at a high level, and making the math pencil out on the dollars and cents could be a challenge, especially if the football team is struggling. And so that's why it's so important for Oregon that Willie Taggart get this thing on track very quickly.
Oh, yeah. Direct tie-in. We continue with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So before you left, you had an interesting task. You wrote the pieces on our area's prep athletes of the year. Start with Lauren Burke, Marist, softball. I'm not a big follower of the preps, but man, her resume seems kind of off the charts. So for folks who aren't aware about maybe what she accomplished and what the future holds, that's pretty exciting for fans here in town.
Yeah, it's a neat story of how she got started playing softball, because her first softball coach was Mike White. when she was 7 years old, and Mike White was coaching a youth team in Eugene. It was before he was the head coach at Oregon. And Lauren's sister was on that team, and they needed somebody to play. So Lauren basically came out of the stands and grabbed a glove and started playing with girls who were a couple years older than her. And she's always played against older competition. She became probably the best softball player in the state for Marist. Gatorade Player of the Year, you know, racked up all kinds of All-America honors. Just had a tremendous career at Marist, playing for her dad there. Now she's going to go back and play for Mike White again at Oregon. So a local prospect is going to go on to play for the Ducks. She was a shortstop in high school. Obviously, Oregon's going to replace a great shortstop in Nikki Uvilla. So big expectations waiting for Lauren at Oregon, and I have a feeling probably a player that's going to be kind of a fan favorite for Oregon softball fans.
No, that's just an awesome story. Then to show how out of touch I am, what's happening at this level, the honor for the guys was shared. Nick Assam with Springfield, Lucas Wilson, who started with Springfield, ended up at Churchill. So I guess as youngsters, they were rivals, developed a friendship, and apparently they both faced kind of, I guess, trying personal circumstances growing up, but became really more like brothers when Nick suffered a horrible tragedy.
Yeah, exactly. Chris Hansen, who covers high school sports for us, was debating who to pick for the men's award. And the idea to go with co-winners, I think, was really natural. Because these two guys, when you talk about the best male high school athlete in Eugene, these are probably the first two guys who come to mind in some order. And it would be really hard to put one ahead of the other because, they're different athletes, but they're both incredible athletes who had great careers here. Nick is going on to play football at Portland State. Luke was recruited by some Division I schools. Looks like he might end up going the junior college route. But both terrific athletes. And they've both gone through, as you mentioned, some challenging circumstances in their lives. Nick Assam's mother passed away in October. That was a really hard thing for him because his mom basically raised him, was a single parent, had five brothers and sisters. They didn't have a lot growing up, overcame some really tough circumstances. So to lose his mom was really, really hard for him. And Luke Wilson has been through some of that too. And those two guys just became more than teammates, more than rivals. There's a really deep, genuine bond with those guys that you see if you spend any time around them.
We're talking with our Tuesday leadoff guy, Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So last Thursday was the NBA draft, kind of an historic night for the Oregon basketball program all the action was in the second round, but at pick 38, the Bulls drafted Jordan Bell. He landed up on Golden State for some big bucks. No guarantees, but man, is it me or does this seem like just such a great fit and opportunity for Bell?
Yeah, no doubt. When the second round started, you were kind of thinking, man, this night may end up being a little bit disappointing for Oregon. There was some thought that Jordan Bell could go in the first round. He didn't. And those picks were coming off the board. And, is this going to turn out to be a disappointment? But I don't think anybody can be disappointed from Oregon's perspective with how it played out, especially with Jordan Bell going to the Warriors. I mean, I just can't think of a better situation for him to start his NBA career. I guess you could make the case that maybe it's easier to start with a team that's not as good because maybe it's easier to crack the rotation. But I don't think the Warriors would have made that investment in Jordan Bell, paying something like $3.5 million to get his draft rights for the Bulls. I don't think they would have done that unless they really saw him fitting into what they want to do. And I think he does fit. I think it's a perfect fit. I mean, he's going to run the floor, block shots, catch bombs. I mean, the mind really can come up with some intriguing possibilities of what Jordan Bell could do in that Warriors system. I think it's going to be really fun to watch.
And then Tyler Dorsey, 41st to the Hawks. Four picks later, Dylan Brooks to Houston. He ends up in Memphis. And I guess beyond the specifics, is this kind of where we figured those two would go? And, you know, regardless of where they are, there's only 60 guys that hear their names called. So they're getting their NBA shot as draft picks, which I don't know if with their resumes, they could have asked for much more.
No, I think, yeah, I could have seen those guys going anywhere from high second round to undrafted. So to go where they did, I think is pretty much the best they could have hoped for. And I think for both of those guys, it probably validated the decision to go pro. It would be great to be a first-round pick. Everybody wants to be a first-round pick. All those 200 guys who declare for the draft every year, they all want to be a first-round pick. But it doesn't happen for everybody. And for both of those guys, I think they did what they could do in college. I don't think either one of them would have gone significantly higher if they'd come back for another year of school. They could have gone lower. You know, look at Ivan Rapp. He was supposed to be a lottery pick as a freshman at Cal. Ended up getting drafted in the second round. So I think both of those guys timed it right. I think they'll have a chance to stick. They'll have to earn it. It's a little bit of an uphill climb sometimes to make a roster when you're drafted at that point, but both have the ability to do it, and I think they both ended up in pretty good situations.
All right, let's wrap with this and some MLB talk about your Royals, who when this month started, they were 8 games under 500. Now they're an even 500 team, and in this American League right now, all you have to do is be okay. Looks like aside from Danny Duffy, they're pretty healthy. Jason Vargas having a big year. The offense is kind of anemic, but you follow them close. I guess nice at least to at this point have a season to root for.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx anything, and I don't want to invoke any comparisons prematurely, but I'm starting to see a little bit of what I saw a couple years ago in the team that won the World Series. You know, this Royals team over the last couple weeks has really shown some the ability to do some improbable things. You know, they won a game a couple nights ago against the Blue Jays where they were down, I believe they were down 5-1 with two outs in the ninth and scored five runs to win the game. Now, that's weird stuff. And we'll see if they can sustain it. You know, it's one thing to do it for a couple weeks. It's another thing to play that way over the course of a full season. And they do have some obvious flaws that they're going to have to contend with. As you mentioned, Danny Duffy's on the DL. Their bullpen has not been great. Their rotation really isn't that deep. But they're starting to hit the ball, and you know they've got this core of players, guys who are going to be free agents, and it's the last go-around. And for a time, it was looking like it was going to be a total bust. But these guys are good players who've done it in the league before. So at the very least, I think it's going to be an interesting summer. And that's all I can ask as a Royals fan.
Awesome. Well, enjoy your time in the Big Easy. Regards to Bourbon Street. Enjoy your conference. Travel safe back to Eugene. And as always, we appreciate your time and look forward to catching up next week, Austin.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.